So, let us reflect upon what is the purpose of our life. Earning money, huh? And that's what we do. And what do we do with the money? We maintain this body. So we work for this body. Yeah. How many hours a week? And then in the end this body dies. And all our work has gone in vain. Nothing. In next life we do the same thing. We educate, we train this body. Yeah? How long did you train this body before you could? Learning to walk, learning to talk. Remember it? Learning to read, learning to write, going to school until 15 or 16 years, yeah? And then we were more or less, you know, able to use this body, Because this body is nothing else, yeah, than a robot, a biological robot, yeah? Just like your car, yeah? You train to drive your car, yeah? It takes much less time, maybe half a year, yeah? But we train this body for 16, 17 years, yeah? If we want to have a good profession, we go to university and we are finished with 22, yeah? And then we get a job, you know, work until we have no energy left, Until we're called retired, yeah? And then we waste our time waiting for death to come. The human life in a nutshell. Training this body, working for this body, waiting for death to come. Next life the same. And whatever you work for in this life, when you die you will have to give up. Gone. Just like the blow of a wind. You don't remember anything. Or do you remember your last life? See? So we have to start afresh. The only thing that we can take with us in the next life, you know, is our karma. Be it a good karma or be it a bad karma. That's the only thing we take with us. I mean, our degrees that we get at the university, we don't take with us, The training of the body we don't take with us, I mean, see, every child, he has to learn to walk, learn to talk, Learn to read and write, Learn the language, Get a profession, Build a company, Or work in a company, Build a family, raise kids. Next life you do the same thing. Where's the fun in it? Anybody knows? Anybody disagrees? But we don't think. We just do. Whatever the kilesas who sit in our ears tell us to do. We want this, we want that, We are not satisfied with this, we are not satisfied with this. And all what we do is say, yes, my Lord, You have led me through trillions of lives, I mean, you should know better than I, No? I want this, I want that, I want to go here, I want to go there, I want to become this, I want to become that, I don't want to be here, I want to be there, All the time. This mind engine, that constantly tells us what to do, What to like and what not to like, And we listen to it. And we say, yes, that is me, that is mine, that is myself. So who is it that me, mine, and myself? What did you think 20 years ago? What were your ideas 20 years ago? The same ideas? Same thoughts? is this I that we constantly say, it's me, it's mine, it's myself? Huh? What did you think 20 years ago? Huh? What did you think when you were a child, 15 years, age of 15? Yeah. What did you want to become? And what have you become now? Quite different, huh? Because our ideas, our mind, our thoughts, our everything changes, yeah? Our feelings changes, yeah? Hmm? The five khandhas, you know, that are not me, not mine, not myself, yeah? Constantly change. Hmm? The body changes, yeah? First it was young, now it gets old, yeah? And then it dies, yeah? So it's not me, not mine, not myself, yeah? Feeling changes, yeah? Today I feel fine, tomorrow I feel sorrow, yeah? Huh? So, who is it? Are you the sorrow? Or are you the fine? Huh? Are you the happiness or you are the unhappiness? Why do you say, it's me, it's mine, it's my feeling? Huh? Why do you say that? If you cannot control it. Huh? You cannot control the body. When you get sick, you cannot control it. All what you can do is you can go to the repair shop that you call now hospitals, yeah? Yeah? Get a new implant. Just like the car you open, carburetor is not good, you know, to exchange it to a new one, yeah? Huh? Or the kidney is bad, you know, okay, let's get a new kidney. Where's the difference? It's not me, not mine, and not myself, yeah? This is one of the principles, yeah, of this universe. Anatta. Not me. Whatever I can perceive cannot be me. How can I say it's my thought? Yeah? We didn't invite the thought to come in. We didn't invite the feelings to come. They just come. And then they go. Yeah? Sometimes much quicker than we want to. Yeah? And sometimes they don't go even if we want to. Yeah? If you feel bad, you know, yeah? They don't go away if you want to. They just stay and stay and stay and stay. Huh? It's not me. Yeah? It's not mine. It's not myself. Yeah? And thoughts, the same thing. Who invites the thoughts that come into your mind constantly? Yeah? This thought, that thought. Yeah. Sometimes we think, you know, I mean, sometimes we. Huh? Did you come to the talk to look at your phone or what? Huh? That in the back? Do you come to a talk to look at your phone? Or do you want to come to listen? Then listen. Yeah? I mean, you don't have so often the opportunity to listen to Forest Dhamma. Yeah? Dhamma that is practiced by the monks. Yeah? Like Lumpu Man or Lumta Mahabua, yeah? I mean, these were people who practiced, you know, and practiced, yeah? They didn't go and study, yeah? They studied their heart, yeah? Because the Dhamma arises in the heart. It doesn't arise in the textbooks, yeah? I feel sorry for the people in Malaysia. So many teachers come by, everybody says something else, you know? And in the end, you're all confused. This person says this, that person says this. You know, what is the truth? Huh? The Forest Dhamma doesn't read books, you know, doesn't investigate books, yeah. It investigates whatever comes up in the heart, yeah. That is the Forest Dhamma, yeah. It makes the mind calm, yeah, and investigates, yeah. Investigates the kilesas of greed, hatred, and delusion, yeah. That's what the Forest Dhamma is about. But we are all stick, yeah? And the more you listen, you know, the more you get confused. This person says this, no? In the end, you don't know what to do. Like in German, we have the saying, too many cooks, you know, spoil the food, yeah? And it's the same thing with the Dhamma. Too many teachers, you know, spoil, yeah? And I've seen it, not only here in Malaysia, I've seen it in Thailand, yeah? I mean, at the time when I came to Thailand, there were quite a few arahants, yeah? So, Yeah? Everybody was running to this Aran, to that Aran, to that Aran, and to this Aran, and in the end they were completely confused. Yeah? It's not that the Arans teaching something different, but they use different words for the same kind of experience. Yeah? And people listen to the words, you know, and get confused. Yeah? So the right kind of practice is to listen to the heart, yeah? Make the heart calm, you know, and then do investigation. Investigation of the things that we think we are. Huh? What do we think we are? We are our thoughts, we are our ideas, huh? No. The thoughts come and go. Ideas come and go. Yeah? I mean, the older people, you know, the older generation, you know, knows, you know. Huh? Our ideas change. Everything changes, yeah? Memory changes, yeah? And the memory doesn't come in, yeah? Sometimes we want to recall one of the memories and it doesn't come up. Gone. Bye. Bye. Yeah? And then when we don't need it, it comes up. Huh? Then it bothers us, yeah? Try to practice, you know, and then all these thoughts coming up. Where is this fog coming from? Huh? Why does it come now? Where is the memory coming from? It just comes, you know. It's a phenomena. Huh? The five khandhas, the body, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, vinyana. The body, yeah. Feelings, bodily feelings, mental feelings. Yeah? Memory association. And association is a big part of the memory. Yeah? When we see a door, we know it's a door. That's association. Yeah? It's memory. It's a function of memory. Yeah? And thoughts, short form of thoughts, yeah? And then consciousness, yeah? These are the five khandhas, or the five groups, yeah? And who has control over the five groups? Either avijja or the Dhamma. The darkness or the light, yeah? Lungda Mahabodh said, you know, each one of them tries to sit on the throne. Who controls it? The five khandhas, yeah? The five khandhas is a toolbox. It's not me, not mine, and not myself. It's a nature, it's a phenomena. They're all phenomena. Some are very quick, and some are very long, yeah? Lasting long. The body lasts a long time, yeah? But other things last a short time, yeah? Feelings last longer, yeah? Thoughts last a short time, yeah? And memories, you know, also a short time, yeah? And consciousness is extremely short. It comes and it goes. Flip, flip, flip. Huh? Ever seen a movie in the, you know, 40 years ago? Huh? When it was not synchronized? Yeah? You saw a black bar, you know, in between pictures. That's consciousness, the black bar. When it, consciousness disappears. Normally we don't see it, yeah? Only people who have a lot of good sati, you know, I mean, can see, you know. Up here, disappear, yeah? And then all what we see is one picture. And who draws it? You know, who draws the conclusion to what?
We.
Yeah? One moment of consciousness. Huh? And then we connect the dots. Yeah? Like we do in all everyday life. We connect the dots. Yeah? we have a friend, you know, he behaves like this and this and this, you know, we connect the dots and we tell, you know, it's like this or like that or like that. That's a function of memory and association, yeah? Together. These are the five khandhas, yeah? They are not me, not mine, and not myself. They are phenomena that appear and disappear, yeah? And most of the time, you know, the kilesas bring it up, yeah? And who are the kilesas? The kilesas are the the foot soldiers of avijja. Yeah? Yeah? And avijja has three armies. Yeah, the army of greed, hatred, and delusion. Yeah, and each army has these foot soldiers. Yeah, now comes the greed. Now comes the hate. Yeah, now comes the delusion. Or the delusion pushes normally greed and hate in front of them, so we can't see it. Yeah, but the Westerners are good, you know. We don't need to investigate. We investigate the mind. Good luck. Because all what you can see is, you know, greed and hatred. You can't see the illusion that is pushing greed and hate in front of us. Yeah? We first have to get rid of greed and hate. Yeah? And how do we get rid of greed and hate? investigation of the body. And investigation of the body, that is the first step. When I came to see Lungta Mahabo, I mean, he hardly talked about samadhi because he expected everybody, you know, to be able to go into samadhi. Yeah? I mean, the ones who came to the Forest University, you know, I mean, of course. And all of them could, yeah? I mean, the monks, you know, that I met that at that time, everybody could go into samadhi, yeah? So he was talking only about body investigation, body investigation, body investigation. The first stage of body investigation, seeing that the body is not self. Yeah? It's not me, it's not mine, it's not myself. It's just a biological robot, you know, that we apparently inherit when we are born. Yeah? Just like a car you go in, yeah? But if you're born in a car and die in a car and never get out of the car, of course you assume you are the car, or? Huh? We are born in this body, we die in this body, we never get out of this body. Huh? So we assume we are this body. Get out and see, you know, body is body and the citta is the citta. Yeah? In the citta there is avijja and there is the Dhamma. Yeah? Yeah? The citta is the one controlling. And it is not within the five khandhas. Everybody believes, you know, that the citta must be in the five khandhas. No. Yeah? I mean, the Lord Buddha was very clear. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankhan, Vinyan. There's no citta. Huh? The citta is the owner. Yeah? And within the citta there is, you know, of course there is kama. Huh? There's avijja and there's the Dhamma. Yeah? So we have to, not to free ourselves of the body, we have to free of ourselves and we have to free the citta. Yeah? Liberate the citta. Yeah? Extinguish the fire. Yeah? Extinguish the fire of the desire. Yeah? Restlessness. What is restlessness? Dukkha. Yeah? You don't have enough dukkha? I mean, when I look at your faces, everyone, you know, I mean, yeah? Yeah? There's a lot of dukkha. Yeah? Because people, yeah? People who come here, yeah? I mean, I want to see one person who doesn't have dukkha. If I don't have dukkha, why should I come here? Yeah? Why should I torture myself? Yeah? Why should I listen to these things, you know, that hurt my, yeah? My views and opinions? Yeah? Yeah? Every one of us has dukkha. Yeah? And when you live in the worldly life, you know, I mean, you certainly have a lot of dukkha. In the morning you get up, you don't want to get up. Dukkha. Yeah? You're hungry. Dukkha. Yeah? You're thirsty. Dukkha. Yeah? You're tired. Dukkha. Yeah? You need to go to the toilet. Dukkha. And that is only the bodily dukkha. Huh? You don't like this, it's dukkha. Huh? You want to be that is dukkha. You want to meet this person, it's dukkha. You don't want to meet that person, it's dukkha. Huh? How much dukkha? Yeah? Dukkha is the first noble truth. Yeah? And the second noble truth, it's desire that leads to dukkha. The desire to be or the desire not to be, the desire to become or not to become, the desire to want or not to want. Hmm? That creates a dukkha. People who have no desire have no dukkha. And you can, every one of you can experience that. The moment you go and enter upachara samadhi, there is no dukkha. And that is the first time you don't want anything. Huh? So why don't you go? Yeah? Huh? Why do you work so hard for money to buy something, you know, that relieves you of the dukkha? I mean, the desire, you know, that you satisfied, another desire comes, yeah? The work, you know, sometimes, you know, we think when we get older, okay, yeah, I retire and now it is finished. No, the people who retire have so much work to do, yeah? This, I need to do this, I need to do that. There's no end to it. There's no end to desire unless we stop it. We want this, you know, there's no end to it. Yeah? We get this, you know, then we want something else. Yeah? We get that, you know, we want something else. Yeah? That is our life, yeah? But there's a way out. The Lord Buddha came and said, there's a way out. And the third noble truth, you know, is that there's an end of dukkha. Yeah? And the fourth, yeah? And the fourth noble truth is the way that leads to the end of dukkha. Yeah? Sila, samadhi, hanya. Yeah? There's no way that you can think yourself out of dukkha. Yeah? We cannot. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Yeah? We're all smart. Yeah? We are all smart. Yeah? Yeah? So if we could find, you know, a solution, you know, to not have dukkha, I mean, you know, you wouldn't be sitting here. Yeah? But we cannot. We cannot use our brains, you know, to find a way out. That's why the Lord Buddha, you know, told us, you know, the way out is sila. Yeah? The five precepts. Hopefully everybody understands the five precepts. Huh? Not harming any living being, that is not only human beings, it's including animals and other beings. Yeah? Not taking what is not given. Yeah. The things in the company that we work for are not given. We take them home, it is stealing. Yeah. Even if you think we work for this company, you know, I take this, just a pencil, you know. The company doesn't give the pencil to us unless it says so, yeah? Take this work home, you know, you can do it at home. That's something else. Or take the computer home or, you know, the laptop, yeah? Then it is given, yeah? But most of the things are not given, yeah? We go to a friend's home, he doesn't invite us to go to the fridge and we go and thirsty, you know, take this water or that water. It's not given, yeah? Unless he says, you know, whatever is in my house, take it, yeah? Then, of course, we go and then look at his safe, you know. Understand, yeah? Please, you know, I mean, it is your life, you know. That's why I asked in the beginning the first question, you know. What is it, you know? What is it? Who am I, you know? What do I want with this life, yeah? Do I want to go into the next life? Do I want to see the same situation? Yeah. Are you happy with this life? Okay, fine. Yeah. I mean, it's your choice. You can go. Yeah. When I saw, you know, when I looked at my life, I said, no, I don't want to. I don't want to go back through all this hassle again. Yeah. Huh? But you won't. Yeah. Huh? I mean, it's up to everybody who decides. Yeah. And the path, you know, the path to deliverance, you know, is very, very open, yeah? I mean, as long as the Lord Buddha lives and his teaching is still living, yeah? And in Thailand it is still living, you know, there are still arahants, yeah? Very few now, yeah? When I came there were quite a few of them, but now they get less and less and less, yeah? But there are still some arahants around, you know the way to the end of dukkha, yeah? And who have practiced the way to the end of dukkha. Yeah? I don't think that in Myanmar or Singapore or Indonesia there are any arahants. No. Yeah? There might be people who think they are arahants, you know, but quite a lot of them actually. But also in Thailand, yeah. I always get, you know, look at, you know, is he an arahant? Is he an arahant? People always want to know. I mean, you get the same teaching from an arahant, you know. I mean, yeah. And it doesn't help you, you know, unless you have some connection. Yeah. So that means the teaching is still alive. We don't know in 50 years if the teaching is still alive, yeah. Because if the arahants die, the teaching also dies. Yeah. The teaching is alive if there's a Buddha or if there are arahants around. Yeah? So, sila. Yeah. So, first precept. Second precept. Yeah? We already talked about third precept. No sexual misconduct. Yeah. Huh? That means, you know, being faithful in one's marriage or partnership. Yeah. And then having sex with minors. Yeah. Huh? Parents not having sex with their kids, yeah? Teachers not having sex with their students, yeah? Professors not having sex with their students, yeah? I mean, when you look at the world, just need to read the Epstein files, or what is it? Yeah. But it's not only, it's probably also in Malaysia. I don't know about Malaysia very much, but in Thailand it is very, very going on, yeah? And, you know, the CEO with his secretary, or, you know, whoever is in command of us, who has power over us, you know, who has sex with his underlings, you know, I mean, it's sexual misconduct, yeah? Using somebody for one sexual pleasure, yeah? That is sexual misconduct, yeah? And then the fourth one, no harsh speech, no lies, yeah? That includes, you know, look at him, what he's doing, what is he doing? Yeah, that's not good speech, yeah? You always look at other people, yeah? Oh, look at him. Oh, what, did you see what he's doing? That's not good, yeah? Huh? Not only, you know, not only at our friends, but also at the government, yeah? Why don't you look at yourself? And see what you're not doing good, yeah? Because other people, you know, will say the same thing about you, what you say about other people, yeah? So look at yourself, yeah? And see, and remove all these, you know, remove all these bad things, you know, that, you know, we harbor in our heart. Yeah? And the fifth one, no alcohol, no drugs, yeah? Including no smartphones. It's a drug. We are addicted to it. Huh? No? I mean, it's worse, you know, I mean, yeah? When we go to bed, you know, it's close to us, you know? Whenever we go out, you know, it is, you know, in our handbags or in our pockets, you know? And why do you think they call it smartphone? Because it's smarter than us. And the more we use it, the more stupid we become. We rely too much on these things, yeah? At the time, Lungta Mahabua called it, you know, in Thai it sounds better, Torah Tat Teva Tat, yeah? Torah tat, Torah sab teva tat. That means, the TV, you know, and the phone, yeah, they're all devadatta, yeah? They fool us into believing something is there, yeah? Watching telly or now playing games on your smartphone. If you have some time, you know, and waiting for something, then you see people scrolling, yeah? And when you go through the street, just today I saw somebody, you know, trying to walk over the street, you know, while scrolling handphone, yeah? Not aware of what is going on around them, yeah? It's just like some people who are drunk, yeah? Use it, yeah? Because everybody has to use it, but use it, you know, wisely, yeah? It's difficult, yeah? We are bored, okay, yeah? And 2 hours have gone. Whoops, gone. Waste of time. Killing our time. That's what most of us do. Killing our time. Yeah? Going here, going there, killing time. Yeah? Wanting to see this, wanting to see that. Killing our time. Yeah? Can we not wait? You know, is it... Yeah? Do we want to die so easily? Huh? We can't wait, so we kill the time until we die and to get to the next life? Huh? Yeah, it seems so. Yeah. When you think about it, you know, especially with these smartphones, you know, I mean, people, you know, I mean, our students, you know, they don't have any attention span anymore. Yeah. Even younger people who constantly use the smartphone. Yeah. What do they say? Google, Google, Google. Yeah. Yeah. What is this? What is this? Yeah, I want to know about this. I want to know. Yeah. And who is the one who wants to know? Avicca. That is the one who wants to know. That is the one who wants to understand. Huh? But Avicca cannot understand in line with the truth and cannot know in line with the truth. Only we can know in line with the truth. Yeah? And for people who are older, you know, who studied, you know, I mean, we went to the library, yeah? Look at books, we know who wrote the books, you know? And then we copy the passage here and the passage there, yeah? But nowadays you ask, you know, what is it, DeepSeek, or what is it, Gemini, or Grok, you know, what is this, you know? And we take the first answer as the truth. I tried it, yeah? And then I asked something, you know, and then he gave me a different answer, yeah? And then I asked again, you know, he gave me a slightly different answer. And then I asked again, and again, and again, yeah? I mean, in the beginning of the first answer and the last answer was very different. Huh? So don't rely so much, yeah? I mean, it's made for us, you know, it's made, yeah? Made to control us, yeah? The more we use these things, then the more we don't think anymore. Yeah? We don't use our own brain cells. Yeah? And then in next life, you know, we don't need a head anymore. We just have a smartphone. We are born with a smartphone instead of our head. Yeah? And people put their messages in. Yeah? Yeah, because we don't use it, you know, that means, you know, in our next life, we don't need it. Yeah? And we just get, you know, a replacement of it, yeah? Think about it. Yeah? Be wise, yeah? Be smart, you know? And don't rely, yeah? I mean, we don't believe all the things, you know, that other people say, yeah? And so we shouldn't believe, you know, what the smartphone says. We don't know where it's coming, the information is coming from. Do we? Yeah? Doesn't tell you. This professor told us, you know, that, yeah? You don't know. It just, you know, all over the world, you know, it gathers its information and it just throws it out at us. Huh? sometimes, when it is programming, it is good, you know, it might be a good clue, yeah? But most of the time, you know, it's useless, yeah? Grok, what shall I do tomorrow? Yeah. Yeah, in the end, you know, don't laugh. You know, in the end, we might become like this. Huh? The more we use it, you know, the more stupid we become. Yeah? And then, you know, then we ask, yeah? was there a movie, Stupidity, you know, where two normal people, you know, were put into a time capsule, you know, and woke up 500 years ago? Yeah? Have you seen it? No. And the people were so stupid, you know, yeah? Because yeah, when you look at our presidents or governors or things like that, they are not smart anymore, yeah? But anyway, that is their problem, yeah? Greed, you know, greed and power, you know, all the things, you know, all the wrong things, you know, that drive people, yeah? People, money, power, yeah? And what do they do? In the end, they do a lot of bad karma. Yeah? And where do they end up? In hell. Yeah? But then they come back again. Because hell is not eternal. Yeah? Sooner or later, they come back again. Yeah? And then they do the same thing because they haven't learned a thing. Yeah? Just like us. You know, we come back again, we haven't learned anything from our previous lives. Yeah? Now we try at least, you know, for 15 minutes listening to a talk, you know, getting a little bit awakened, yeah? Huh? What do I want to do with my life, yeah? What is useful in my life, yeah? Getting a lot of money, yeah? Or finding a recluse, you know, within our heart, yeah? Finding a safe haven within our heart, yeah? And that leads, of course, to samadhi, yeah? So the second part of the Eightfold Path, you know, is samadhi, yeah? Training ourselves, closing our eyes, staying with the Buddha, or staying with the breath, knowing the breath goes in, knowing that the breath goes out. Knowing that the Buddha is fast, or slow, or deep, or shallow, or whatever. The knowingness is that what we develop. Not pushing down, yeah? That leads to a calm, you know, and the moment the calm arises, we stay, instead of staying with the Buddha, we stay with the calm. And then the calm disappears. Eh? That's not developing sati. And if you remember, you know, samadhi is samadhi. Samadhi means concentration. Sati is knowingness, awareness. Samadhi and sati are not the same thing. Through the development of samadhi, we have to develop also sati, this awareness. Yeah? Being aware of how the breath is. Being aware if it's an in-breath or out-breath. Is it short or is it long? Is it deep? Is it shallow? Not to make things what we like to do. Yeah, we like to do to make the, you know, the breath come. And then, yeah? Because we try to make things. No, we are here to observe things. Yeah. Observe how the breath is, not to make the breath. Yeah, in a certain way, what we think is calm. Through observing the breath, you know, the mind actually becomes calm. Yeah. Observing the breath, knowing how the breath is. Yeah. I mean, next time, please, you know, I mean, KL probably has a zoo, yeah? Do you have a zoo? Animals, zoo, yeah? Or aquarium, no matter what, yeah? Watch the animals. You cannot control them, but you know what you're doing. You have to, don't have to think about what they are doing. Ever occur to you? Huh? You know what they are doing. If they're swimming forward, backward, upwards, downwards, yeah? Do you have to think what they are doing? No. You observe and you know. And this is exactly that what we need to develop. This knowingness of how the breath is. Yeah? Not to control the breath. Huh? And lots of people try to control the breath or try to control the Buddha. Yeah? We only, for the Buddha or for the breath, we only control it, yeah, when the mind goes out into thinking. Then we bring it back. And you put it back on the Buddha or put it back on the breath. And then we observe the breath again. Yeah? But when the mind goes out, then we control it to bring it back. Yeah? That's the only time where we control it. Yeah? Otherwise we observe, observe, observe. Yeah? But that is of course boring. Yeah? I know it. I know it. I mean, if we breathe, you know, since we are born. Yeah? We start breathing, you know, when we get a slap on the back. Yeah? And since then, we are never interested in our breath. Now we have to observe it. Oh, I know it. I know it already. No. That's boredom. Yeah? So we realize boredom. So what is boredom? When we investigate boredom, getting interested, how does it feel, boredom? Yeah? How does it feel, restlessness? Huh? We don't know. It says, restless, okay, look at the smartphone, you know, and then the restlessness is gone, yeah? Or watch telly, you know, or whatever, yeah? We only find, you know, just like, you know, with our physical things, you know, when we are hungry, we eat something and it's gone, yeah? When we have pain, we go to the doctor, yeah? And hopefully it's gone, yeah? We never look at what is happening. Meditation, you know, that is the second part, that's investigation. Or vipassana. Vipassana is not observing the breath, that is samatha. Samatha is calm meditation, yeah? Developing concentration and developing the knowingness, this awareness or sati, yeah? Satipanya are the only weapons we can use against the kilesa. Yeah? Maha Sati, Maha Panya, the great Sati and the great Panya, that even gets rid of avicca, yeah? But before that, you know, we have to develop Sati, Panya, yeah? And Panya is investigation. What is pain? Huh? Ever looked at pain? No. We only look at the remedy of pain. Huh? When we sit, or this helps for this, or that helps for this, yeah? Yeah? Or we go to the doctor and ask, yeah? How does he know, yeah? I mean, for most of the people it works, you know, but not for everybody, yeah? See, some people can get cured of cancer, you know, other people don't, yeah? What do they know, yeah? What did they know when they said, you know, COVID is dangerous, you know, we all die, you know? Huh? You have to have at least 3 chaps, you know? 3 injections, you know? Huh? You believe them, yeah? Huh? Huh? You have to wear a mask, yeah? And actually, you know, all the studies, you know, were against the mask, yeah? Because when you put on a mask, yeah, you breathe in oxygen and you breathe out carbon dioxide. So when you have a mask on, yeah, you put the carbon dioxide in the mask. So when you breathe in carbon dioxide. And I heard carbon dioxide is very healthy. Yeah? But nobody thinks, that's why what I was talking about. Nobody uses its brain to think about, you know? Yeah? We just had to look at, you know, some of the studies, you know, from 2015 or 2018, you know. Yeah? Everybody says mask is useless, yeah. The virus goes through the mask, yeah. But we did it anyway. Yeah? We believed, you know. Yeah? Yeah. And now what happens, yeah? People, you know, with the injection die more easily, you know, than other people who have never got injection, yeah? Some of the people in Thailand, you know, got their jab in the evening, they were dead, yeah? Other people got their jab, they went on, you know, on their normal shocking tour and they died of heart attack, yeah? I don't trust anybody who tells me what to do, yeah? I want to investigate for myself. To find the wisdom for my own body, you know. Because look at you, you know, everybody is different. Everybody reacts differently to anything, yeah. So, we have to get wise, yeah. We have to know what we take in, yeah. Ah, this food is healthy, you should take it. Yeah? Maybe it is healthy for you, but maybe it's a poison for him. Yeah? I mean, there's an old saying actually, yeah. Once man's medicine is the other man's poison. Where does it come from? In 1600? 500 years ago. Already people knew it. Nowadays nobody knows it. Yeah? We all take the same thing. Be wise. Yeah? Be smart. Hmm? So, yeah? Investigation. What is pain? Huh? When you sit for 3 hours? I break my leg, I break my back, you know? Huh? When you sit with your friends, you know, eat for 3 hours, you never think about this. Huh? But now, half an hour, oh no, I break my leg, you know? Huh? What is pain? Huh? Never investigate it. And we are afraid of pain, yeah? And fear always makes the wrong choices. Like we were afraid of COVID, yeah? So we made the wrong choices. We didn't go against the stream. Yeah? So, what is pain? Yeah? What is restlessness? What is boredom? We don't know. We just put a label on it and say, this is not good, this is I don't like, and this I like. Yeah? And then we find remedies. Yeah? When we are bored, we watch telly or watch a smartphone. Yeah? When we are restless, you know, I mean, we look around, you know, nowadays we just look, yeah, ask Grok, what can I do against restlessness? So go to KLC or or KFC or whatever, you know, eat something, you know, stuff yourself up, you know, so that you don't need to think, yeah. No. Yeah, investigate. I mean, that is vipassana. Vipassana is not, you know, I mean, I know Goenka calls it vipassana. I mean, observing, you know, the things coming in and observing the things going out. Yeah? Ever did a Goenka retreat? Yeah? Yeah? You can observe these things until you die and nothing changes because the things are coming and they are going. And coming and they are going. But we want to understand the nature of why they're coming, how they are coming, yeah? And what is the cause for them to come, yeah? And how can we get rid of it? That is called vipassana. And for vipassana, we actually do need our brain, yeah? We need to ask questions, yeah? The first question, what is pain? Yeah? How does it feel, pain? We don't want to feel it. Yeah? We want to get rid of it. And that's why you never understood what pain is. We will never understand what pain is. Yeah? So we go, feel it. How does it feel? Pain. We want to get familiar with the feeling of pain. Huh? Now, where is it located? Okay, now we put our attention on where it is located. Yeah, that's where we need samadhi and the concentration. Yeah, we concentrate on the point where the pain is located. Yeah, and then we ask, you know, where is it exactly? Is it in the skin? Is it in tendons? Is it in the bones? Yeah, but we don't listen to any answers that come from the klesas. Yeah, because I mean, when you sit, you know, and eat, you don't have this pain. But when you sit in samadhi, you have this pain, yeah? Huh? So where is the pain actually? Yeah? If you come close to the truth, it disappears from one point and appears in the next point, yeah? Huh? And then you have to go to the next point. Ask the same question, yeah? Until you're close to the truth, and then it disappears. How can pain disappear, yeah? I mean, if somebody stabs you, the pain is there, no matter if you stand up or if you lie down or if you sit. Yeah? But the pain, you know, at the moment, yeah? What is our remedy when we sit in samadhi? Oh, pain, let's get up. And the pain is gone. Strange. And we never think about it. Huh? Oh, that's good. Pain is gone. We don't need to sit. That defies the purpose, you know, of our meditation. Yeah. Huh? That's why we have to investigate pain. And once we really can investigate pain, then we can investigate anything, any kind of feeling that comes up, yeah? Because it's a similar, right? But we have to ask questions and don't listen to the answers that are coming. Oh, I'm sitting crooked. No. I'm in samadhi. Sitting in samadhi has nothing to do with the proper seating. Yeah? We sit comfortable and that's it. Yeah? And then we don't train the body. Yeah? We train the citta to be calm. Yeah? And once the citta is calm, once the citta enters samadhi, the body actually becomes erect on its own. Because the kilesas let go, yeah? Because when we enter samadhi, huh, the kilesas have no power for that moment, yeah? That's why we feel so happy. That's why we feel contented. The kilesas don't have any power over the five khandhas. And suddenly the body, you know, by itself, you know, gets erect, yeah? We don't have to do anything. A lot of people struggle, now I have to sit, yes, and yeah, that's not the point. Huh? We don't train the body, we train the citta. Yeah? The citta to get calm. Yeah? And once the citta is calm, the body is calm. Yeah? When the body moves, you know, the citta has to move. Ever realized it? Yeah? When you're in the car, you know, the car doesn't go by itself. You have to move the car. You have to turn the wheel or press down on the accelerator or on the brake. And then it moves or goes, yeah? The same with the body. The body doesn't act on its own. Yeah? The citta. The citta is the one. That's why, you know, why walking meditation is actually quite good. Yeah. When we walk very fast, you know, I mean, huh, the citta has to control the body, the walking. Yeah. And the rest of the citta, we stick with the Buddha. It's much easier, yeah, than just sitting, you know, where we have to concentrate the whole citta. So, I mean, find some place where you can do walking meditation and find it out. Don't walk slowly, yeah? I mean, that's where the mind goes off, yeah? When you walk, you know, I mean, you have a starting point and an end point, yeah? And you look towards the end point, yeah? 1 meter ahead, you know, look towards the end point. This one path I will be with the Buddha or with the breath. And you will be amazed, you will never, when you are, arrive at the end point, I mean, the Buddha is lost and the breath is lost. So you turn around, okay, say, this one path I will be with the Buddha and breath, yeah? Not 1 hour, yeah? just this one path. We can do that. No. It's gone. And you realize every time, oh, okay. And then that is what is good about walking meditation. Every time, yeah, when we turn around, we have a new determination. Yeah, I mean, when you said the mind goes, you know, all around the world, and oh, okay, I was off. Yeah, yeah. But with walking meditation, actually, you know, each time we turn around, we can make a new determination. Yeah, and sooner or later, after you walk for 3 hours, you know, I mean, then then the mind really gets calm. And after that, we can do the sitting meditation, and it is very easy, and we can easily get into samadhi. Yeah? What keeps you from getting into samadhi? Ask yourself. Your thoughts, your memories, your wishes, your ideas. Oh, tomorrow I have to do this. Oh, I shouldn't forget this. Oh, forget all about it. Yeah? Tomorrow comes anyway. You cannot, you know, you cannot prevent it from coming, yeah? And in the morning when you wake up, you can remember what to do, yeah? So, yeah, investigation, yeah? Investigate pain, yeah? What is pain? Yeah? Where is it? Is it in the tendons? Is it in, you know, is it in the bones, yeah? I mean, we have this body, you know, since we are born, yeah? I mean, why are we not constantly, you know, in pain? If the pain is in the tendons, or is it in the bones, or in the flesh? Huh? Why is it only now when we sit in samadhi is it there? Huh? We never think. Huh? We never investigate things. Yeah? Investigation of things makes us smart. Yeah? Especially feeling. Yeah? I mean, all these feelings that come. Yeah? What came before? Yeah? I mean, huh? What came before, you know, boredom, yeah? What came before tiredness? What kind of thoughts came up? What kind of memories came up? Yeah? We sit there, Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. Oh, I'm tired. No! I mean, the citta. You have to understand one thing about the citta. Yeah? We are the CEO, yeah? And the kilesas constantly come with suggestions. Yeah? You should do this, you should do that, yeah? But if the CEO doesn't agree to it, the kilesas cannot do anything. They don't have power. So we automatically agree to it, yeah? So, for instance, you know, when we get tired, yeah? The first time, you know, the citta comes and says, the kilesas come and say, oh, I'm tired, yeah? We don't notice it because we don't have sati at that moment, yeah? Then, but if you have sati, then this happens, you know. 2 minutes later, they come again. Ah, isn't it, you know, isn't it time to go to bed, you know? Yeah? Or to rest, yeah? And we still don't get it, yeah? And the third time, and the fourth time, and the fifth time, it comes in closer distances, yeah? And in the end, yeah, okay, we say yes, and then we tire. But if you see it the first time and said no, you don't agree with the kilesas, yeah, then you're not tired. You're suddenly fully awake. Bah. But we don't see it because we don't have enough sati. Yeah? We don't have enough awareness of what is going on in our heart. Yeah? That's why we need to train sati. Yeah? Please, yeah? There are not many teachers, you know, who talk about the difference between samadhi and sati. Huh? Training sati is being aware of what is going on. Huh? Not to make something happen, to being aware. Yeah. So I invite everybody, you know, to go to the aquarium or go to the zoo and watch the animals. You know what they are doing. And that's exactly the same quality we need for our observing the breath of serving the Buddha. Yeah? Until the mind really gets still. Yeah? Until there are no more thoughts and no more memories coming up. That is what is called samadhi. Yeah? Yeah? Absorption. Yeah? Upachara samadhi. Yeah? Yeah? Or access samadhi. That's where we feel contented. And the feeling of each person is different, yeah? Some people feel pity, you know. Some people, you know, I mean, the tears are running down the cheeks, and that's fine, yeah. Other people just feel joy. Other feel, you know, just a stillness, yeah. It depends on our characteristics from our previous lives, you know, how we feel. It's not for every person the same thing, yeah? But we are contented, yeah. And that is the most important thing. We feel safe. And there's nothing coming in and disturbing our mind until we get out, you know. And there's a thought coming and then we are out, yeah. Oh, that was nice. Bye-bye, Samadhi. It's gone. It's not coming back. But some people, you know, open the door. Ah, that smells nice, you know. Yeah. And then they close the door in front of them. And then they open again, and let's close it again, open it again, yeah. Oh, it was such a nice samadhi, but now I'm really tired. That, we didn't enter samadhi, yeah. We just had a nice preview of samadhi, yeah. But we didn't get the whole thing, yeah. Normally when we enter upachara samadhi, we enter it, and then we get out of it, yeah. And when we get out of it, we feel refreshed, energized, actually. Just the opposite of most of the people, yeah? Really energized, yeah? And concentrated. And then we can do some investigation, yeah? Then it is much clearer, yeah? I mean, the knife, you know, that cuts down on the calyces is sharper, yeah? Try to cut down a tree with a blunt knife, yeah? We have trillions of lives, you know, we already tried, you know, and nothing happens, yeah? The bark always grows back, you know. The trees become stronger and stronger and stronger, yeah? The tree of life, yeah? But if our knife is sharp, you know, I mean, we actually make a difference, yeah? We slowly cut it until it falls over, yeah? So investigation, yeah? Yeah? And then we investigate the body, huh? Because that is the first investigation of the body, yeah? In order to get rid of greed and hatred, yeah? The first thing is to see that the body is not self, yeah? Get out of the body and look, it looks like me, yeah? It's an interesting experience, yeah? Getting out of the body, hey, who's sitting there? Huh? Wow, this face, it looks familiar, yeah? It looks like me, yeah? But then we see, you know, I mean, the body is the body and the chitta is the chitta, yeah? That is one thing, that is one insight that we need, yeah? It's one of the fetters, yeah? Body is not self, yeah? You can turn down the air conditioner a little bit, yeah? And so that's not so strong. What are the other two fetters, yeah, in order to enter the stream? The first fetter is the fetter of doubt, isn't it? That there's karma or no karma, yeah? That there's hell and heaven, yeah? If you don't believe that there's heaven, you go up, you know, I mean, yeah? You can go up and look, you know, talk to the devas, if you like. You can go down to hell and see if the beings are there, yeah? Or at least, you know, trust the Lord Buddha that he was right. He was teaching the devas in heaven, yeah? Now people say heaven doesn't exist, yeah? Or hell doesn't exist, huh? Or this life is the only life. No. Yeah? I mean, karma, rebirth, yeah? Karma, there's good karma and there's a bad karma. There are results of good karma and there are results of bad karma. That is the first fetter, yeah? And most of the Westerners don't even pass that fetter, yeah? Oh, is there really karma? Yeah. Huh? Now everybody uses that. This is karma. Yeah, but that is not what we really want. Yeah. Karma is the result of our good doings or bad doings. Yeah. And the karma only comes back, you know, most of the time in the next life, or in five lifetimes. Yeah. It doesn't come back instantly. I mean, look at all these YouTube videos, instant karma, instant karma. There's no instant karma. Huh? It looks like instant karma, but it is not instant karma. Yeah? karma back, comes back, you know. I mean, it's just like, you know, farmers know that they put a seed in the ground, you know, and then they wait for the rice to grow. Yeah. And once the rice, you know, it's fully, you know, fully grown, you know, then they can harvest and eat it. That is karma. Yeah. So, today we sow a bad deed, you know, yeah. And, you know, and it needs time to ripe, yeah. Some of the deeds, you know, most of the deeds will ripe in the next life, yeah. Some of them will ripe later and then come every lifetime, yeah. And some of them only come 100 or 1,000 times, yeah. And it's the same thing with bad, yeah. That's why we, you know, I mean, when you look at this, you know, we have the saying in English, you know, don't do unto others what you don't want others to do unto you. For whatever is happening to you right now, please remember this, whatever is happening to you right now is what you have done unto others, be it good or bad. Understand that? Really? Or do we blame other people, you know, for our bad things, huh? Huh? We are Buddhists, we shouldn't, yeah? We should realize that only the things that we have done unto others come back to us, yeah? Be it good or be it bad. Please? Yes? Remember this. It makes life so much easier. We don't have to fight anybody. We don't have to fight the government. We don't have to fight our our partner. We don't have to fight our kids, you know. Huh? If we have bad kids, you know, we have been bad kids in our previous lives. Huh? Very easy, very simple. Yeah. And then try to make the best out of it. Yeah. Because we always have a choice. Make the best out of it. Change our ways of behavior. Huh? Change our ways how we see things. Yeah? So that is the first fetter. Yeah? The second fetter I was talking already about, you know, the sila. Yeah? Not keeping the sila, then keeping the sila, not keeping the sila. I mean, sila is the five precepts, yeah, if somebody doesn't understand. That's the second fetter. And the third fetter is the identification with the body. Yeah. So the first, you know, this investigation of the body can lead to the first, you know, first stage of enlightenment. Yeah. Sotapanna, stream entry. Yeah. And the second stage is still body investigation. Now we investigate the body. We open it up. Yeah. Huh? Anybody who has seen an open up body, you know, I mean, well, how does he react? We don't want to see what is underneath the skin. Huh? Just imagine your partner next time, you know, without a skin. You don't want to see that. Really? No. Huh? And the interesting thing, you know, is the moment, you know, I mean, you have sexual desire and the object you change the object, you know, into an object without skin, the sexual desire goes. Whoops, gone. That's very interesting. But it instantly comes back, yeah? Because we repaint the picture with the skin. Then we have to take the skin off again. And then it comes on again, and then off again, and on. I mean, that is a practice for us as monks, you know? Yeah? You have to constantly practice it for years and years and on that, yeah. But then the next thing is, you know, I mean, to investigate it, the loathsomeness of the body, yeah. Some people say, you know, we don't have to make the body loathsome. Hello, the body is loathsome. Just look at the shit that comes out. You like to put it back in the mouth? Huh? Whatever comes into the body is nice, yeah, tasty, yeah, smells nice. Whatever comes out of this body, yeah, this is a factory that turns everything that is beautiful, yeah, and nice, huh, and tasty into something that is disgusting. Ever notice that? Why do you take a shower? Huh? Why do you wash your hair? Huh? Where is it coming from? From the inside of this body. Huh? Ever notice that? Huh? Why do we put perfume on? Yeah? Not to smell the disgust of this body. Yeah? Yeah? Why do we, you know, why do we use makeup? Yeah? Huh? For the women? Yeah? Makeup for what? Huh? For the deficiencies of our body. We don't want other people to see the deficiencies. That's why we make it up. Yeah? Huh? We don't want other people to see the ugly sides of our body. That's why we put clothes on. Yeah? And we only display the things that that we think it's nice. Yeah? Huh? But yeah? Inside. Yeah? And then open up the body, you know, I mean, we throw up or we fall unconscious. Yeah? Ask any doctor, you know, in the first year, yeah? Huh? He opens up a body, he either throws up or falls unconscious. Normal reaction. Yeah? We don't want to see the inside of the body. So we don't have to make the body loathsome. The body is loathsome. Yeah? It's nice, you know, when we have a skin on, yeah? But it's not so nice if we don't have a skin on. And it's not so nice, even worse, when we open it up, yeah? Huh? Pull the skin away, you know, then cut in, you know, put all these things away, yeah? You want to have this quivering liver or whatever it is, kidney, you know, heart in your hand? But it makes the body run, or the brain, you know? Yeah? This gray mass, you know? So this is, yeah, this investigation of the loathsomeness of the body, you know, diminishes greed and hate, yeah? That's the only way, yeah? The only way, yeah, for 99.9% of our practitioners. Yeah? Others, you know, who have the jhanas can do it in another way, but there are hardly any people. Yeah? At the time of the Lord Buddha, there were some. But now we go the normal routine. And don't think that the Lord Buddha didn't teach it. The Lord Buddha taught a super practice. Yeah? And that actually in one of the suttas, you know, I mean, the monks who listened to his talk, you know, were so disgusted that they all killed themselves. And then he got a little bit milder, yeah, when doing, yeah. People are attached to this body, yeah. I talked about it, just a biological robot, you know. We program it for 15, I mean, any robot, you know, I mean, industrial robot, the most you program it is half a year. Then it can do the most complex task. This robot we have to program for 16 years before it can do anything useful. Huh? But then, of course, you know, it can create. Yeah, I mean, look at it. Look around. It can create, you know, spacecraft, and things like that. Yeah. Huh? Houses. Yeah. But it all goes. Yeah. It's all anicca. Huh? Whatever we create, you know. Look at the last civilization. What do we see of the last civilization? The Lord Buddha said we are the fourth civilization on this planet. Do we know anything about the last civilization? A little bit. Atlantis. Ever heard of it? Yeah. But do we know anything about the second civilization? Was called Lemuria? Nothing. I mean, Atlantis we know a little bit because Plato, you know, talked about it, you know, a little bit, you know. How advanced they were. They didn't use all this fossil fuel. Yeah. They used the solar energy. Yeah. To have their planes and their ships, you know. Yeah. What do we know? Yeah. And what people will know in the next civilization about us? Nothing. Just the same. Because it all disappeared. Yeah. It takes another 100,000 years before the next Buddha comes. Yeah. So in this time, you know, everything goes. Maybe something is sticking out, you know, and people wonder, what is this, you know? Just like we wonder, you know, when we go to the pyramids, what is this, you know? Who built the pyramids, yeah? Because nowadays we couldn't, yeah? Even with our, yeah? With our tools, we couldn't, yeah? So they had different things, yeah? The same thing with our civilization is gone, yeah? And when this, you know, when the last civilization ends, you know, then the world ends and we go to another planet. I mean, we have been to so many planets, yeah? And what did the Lord Buddha said? You know, this planet, you know, this planet Earth, you know, I mean, had the most civilizations, yeah? 5 civilizations, yeah? There are other planets that are only 1 civilization. Most planets, 2 or 3 civilizations. But this planet Earth, you know, lasted a long time, yeah? That's probably why we got so accustomed to it. We don't want to leave it, yeah? So, everything disappears, yeah? Our civilization, whatever we have known, you know, disappears, you know, nobody will know, yeah? Just like we know, we hardly know anything about the last civilization, yeah? I mean, when you think about, you know, what did the Lord Buddha, he remembered only 24 Buddhas. Huh? That's all what he could recount, you know, but there are endless Buddhas, yeah? I mean, how many, yeah? How many did we meet? We don't know if we ever met one, yeah? So, make the most out of your life, yeah? So, the investigation of the body, yeah? The investigation of the body, of the loathsome of the body, is opening up, looking at it, closing, opening up, looking at it, closing, opening up, looking at it, closing, yeah? And seeing the hate that comes up, yeah? And the hate comes up, yeah? When you do it really, you know, I mean, there's a lot of anger coming up after your meditation. Not while you do it. While you do it, you get interested. Ah, okay, yeah. But when you come out, you know, yeah, it's just like destroying the favorite toy of your child. Wow, it gets angry. No. See? We destroy the favorite child of the Kilesa. Because this body is so important, yeah? So the more we destroy it, the more we go and see it is not this amazing thing, yeah? See that it's loathsome, that we need to keep it up, that we need to feed it, you know, to house it, you know, and, you know, get rid of all the smell and get rid of all, you know, all the dirt, you know, that comes out of this body. Yeah? The more we see it, you know, I mean, the more we get disillusioned about the body, yeah? And the Kilesas, of course, don't like that. Yeah? They like this body. Yeah? Yeah. That's why, you know, at the end of our life, we want to have a new body. Yeah, just like people, you know, who drive, you know, passionate car drivers want a new car when the old car dies. No? You don't want to walk by foot, yeah? Yeah? You want a new car, and then a new car, and a new car, yeah? But now we look under the hood, you know? Under the hood of this body, yeah? And see, there's nothing really, yeah? And there's nothing, you know? Nothing exciting, yeah? It brings us only dukkha, yeah? Feeding it, yeah? Looking after it, working for it, yeah? Has it ever been grateful to you? That you looked after it? No! It goes its course, you know. Just like everything goes its course, yeah. So does the body. It goes its course, yeah. It's not grateful, yeah. It doesn't give us pleasure. We think it is pleasure when we eat. If we are not hungry, we don't eat. Yeah? And, yeah. If we're really hungry, you know, then we think it's pleasure to eat, you know. But when we are full, we don't want to eat because then the pleasure turns into something very unpleasant. Yeah? Overeating, you know. Yeah? It is very unpleasant. Yeah? Everything that, yeah, what we do, if we overdo it, it is something that is pleasant. If we overdo it, you know, it turns into something unpleasant. Yeah? Look at all these stupid farangs, you know, who come. Afarangs, what is Westerners, you know, who come to the beaches, you know, of Malaysia. I mean, they throw themselves into the sun, you know, heat themselves up, you know, until the sun burns, you know, and then get into the cold water, you know, until they can't stand the cold anymore, and then go back into the sun, heat themselves up, you know, then go back into the cold water, and then at the end of the day, oh, that was such a nice day. Yeah. We, yeah, living long enough, you know, in Asia, you know, we avoid the sun. But when you see all these Westerners, you know, yeah, I used to be the same, you know. And but living long enough in Asia, you know, I mean, I avoid the sun as much as possible, yeah. But that is what they think, you know, they change, yeah, from unpleasantness to pleasantness. That is what they think it's fun. Yeah? From hunger to full. Wow, this is pleasure, isn't it? That's what we think, yeah? From heat to cold, you know, this is pleasure. From cold to heat, this is pleasure, yeah? It's just the extremes, yeah? Changing the extremes, yeah? And to understand that and to see the delusion in it, you know, that's actually, both of it is, you know, it's dukkha, yeah? To get too heated up, yeah? It's the same as sexual desire. To get too heated up, you know, it's a lot of dukkha, yeah? Then we have to relieve our stress, yeah? And it's the same. Yeah? Where's the fun in it? When we think about it, there's no fun in it. Yeah? But we never think about it. That's the problem. Yeah? We just do it. Yeah? We never think about what we do. We don't know what we are doing, why we are doing, and what the results of our doing is. We just do it. Yeah? Because somebody in our ears whispers, you know, we should do this or we should do that. That should be a lot of fun. Yeah? Go to this country or that country, you know? Yeah? See this person, you know? Yeah? Or change our partners because, you know, the other one is better. Yeah. Same problem. Wherever we go. Wherever we go. We meet ourselves, no matter where we go. I mean, the first 3 weeks or first 3 months, you know, might be different, but then we meet ourselves again. Oh, hello, I know you. It's all the same problem. This problem arises in our heart, yeah, and that's where we solve them, yeah. And we solve them through investigation, yeah. Investigation of the body, you know, until we reach the stage of anagami, non-returner. Wow. We don't come anymore back, yeah? And then only then, yeah, we will tackle delusion, yeah? Before that, we still have to work with greed and hatred, yeah? Yeah? And with the investigation of the body, we bring up anger so that we can learn how to deal. The first thing we learn how to deal, yeah, is pain. Yeah? And then we can get rid of all the other feelings, you know, or we investigate the other feeling. But anger is a very strong emotion, yeah? So, when we do body investigation, after the investigation, the anger comes up, yeah? And then we know we've done it correctly, yeah? If no anger comes up, it's just play, yeah? Yeah? You will see it, you know? I mean, you suddenly get angry at a tree that is standing in your way, yeah? Or why is this person, you know, suddenly standing in my way? You get angry, yeah? And that means, you know, I mean, your body investigation work, you know, it brings up the anger of the kilesas. And the anger is not directed at a person, you know, it's directed at anything that is, you know, yeah? So that is the stage of anagami, yeah? Once you get rid of greed and hatred. And then you tackle delusion. And where is the delusion, you know? Yeah, where is it hiding? In the smartphone. No, in thoughts and memory. Yeah? That's where delusion hides, yeah? I mean, you have to tear it apart. When you look at Lungda Mahabua, Lungda Mahabua was in samadhi, you know? I mean, he was even not only in Upachara samadhi, he was Apana samadhi. Huh? Pretty much every day, yeah? Sometimes he said, you know, I mean, he went into Apana Samadhi. If somebody knows what Apana Samadhi is, yeah, where everything disappears, yeah, where is one pointedness, yeah, where object and subject merge into one point, that is Apana Samadhi. The whole universe disappears, there is no universe. Yeah? All what is left is the pure knowingness. Not the knowingness that knows of anything, but the pure knowingness. So he went in Apana Samadhi. And after 5 years of training, an Olympoman said, okay, slept enough, you know, I mean now let's go to work. Yeah? And then he did investigation of the body. Took him 8 months, you know, I mean to finish to Anagami. And then he said, you know, it took him nearly 2.5 years to get rid of delusion. Because they are so intermingled, yeah? So difficult to tear apart. Yeah? And then it took him another 3 months in order to get rid of avicca. Yeah? So it's not easy. Yeah, I mean, the body investigation is relatively straightforward. Yeah? But how to deal with delusion that constantly comes with other ideas, with other, oh yeah, that is the way you should go. That is, yeah. I mean, you're constantly fooled. You're constantly fooled, yeah? I mean, with body investigation, you actually know what to do, yeah? But with delusion, you know, I mean, it constantly directs you in different ways, yeah? Very, very difficult to tear it apart. Okay? That's enough for today, yeah? So, any questions, yeah?
Yes, sir. One thing, can you clarify for us, how do I know I'm absolutely in Upachara Samadhi?
I told you before, when you come out, you feel energized and concentrated.
Okay. Maybe I ask you a minute.
What?
What's the physiological changes in my body and my mind? If I'm in Upachara Samadhi,
you're contented. You don't think. You don't memorize. No memories are coming up. No thoughts are coming up. And you don't go on to the feelings. You stay with the Buddha and stay with the breath. Because in Upachara Samadhi, you're still with the breath and still stay with the Buddha. And when you come out, I mean, how can you not feel it? Yeah? You're energized. You're full of energy. You're not asleep. And you're not tired. That is one of the signs that you went into Upachara Samadhi. Yeah?
Are there many variations of Upachara Samadhi?
Yes. Lots of variations. But the result is always the same.
Sorry.
The result is always the same. I mean, there's things, you know, as I said, you know, that can turn up pity, you know, but we don't go on to the pity and we don't go on the joy, you know, or we don't go on to the stillness. We stay with our breath, yeah, because our ultimate goal is to go into one-pointedness in Apana Samadhi. So we stay with the breath, we stay with the Buddha. Yeah. See? The smartphone. Yeah.
Would I be aware of external disturbances in a very minute way?
Yes. So I mean, how can you not know? But you don't go out to it, yeah. And in the end, the deeper you go into Upachara Samadhi, you're not aware of it anymore. Sometimes you're not even aware of the body anymore, yeah. I mean, sometimes what happened to me, you know, when I became close to Apana Samadhi is, you know, that the body completely went out, you know. All what I was feeling was the heart, yeah. And sometimes, you know, I even lost control. I was thinking, you know, my head is on the floor. I was so surprised. I looked up and I was sitting completely straight. Because the chitta does not have any time anymore to go to all the positions of the body to tell you what your real position is.
Okay. If I don't feel my physical body anymore, but I sense my mind and chitta is active, what does that mean?
Your mind is
my
what?
My mind is active, is alert.
If it is alert, yeah. But what it does it stay? Not. Yeah. But what does it stay with? Stay with the breath. That's okay.
So what situation am I in that moment?
When you come out, how do you feel?
Of course, energized.
See, the samadhi. But it's not Apana Samadhi.
Yeah. Okay.
It's Upachara Samadhi. And Upachara Samadhi goes from very light, where there's still once in a while a thought is coming and the memory is coming, goes down to very deep where we can't feel the body, and yeah, in the beginning you still feel, you know, there are disturbances outside, but you're not interested, yeah. Just like you sit in a glass house, you know, and all the thunder and storms is going out, you're aware of it, yeah, but you don't feel disturbed because you feel safe.
And the other thing I realized that if I project my mind towards someone's face, it became very bright.
To what?
If I project my chitta to someone,
yeah,
the vision becomes very clear, very bright. It stays mm-hmm. in front of me. Does that indicate something?
Just indicate some concentration, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's good concentration, yeah. But it doesn't indicate anything, yeah. Unless you can see the thoughts of other people, yeah. I mean light, yeah. I mean some people see some light, yeah. When they are concentrated normally, you know, normally, well, for most of the people it happens, you know, the light becomes bright and bright and brighter and brighter and brighter, yeah. But it's just a sign of concentration. I mean, when... For instance, you know, some people, you know, when they die or have a near-death experience, you know, they see this bright light. It doesn't mean anything. It's not heaven. It's just that chitta needs to concentrate. I mean, it needs to disentangle itself from the body, and then it becomes very bright. Yeah? And then it goes out and leaves the body behind. It doesn't mean anything. No heaven, nothing. Yeah. They are so fooled. Yeah.
There's another experience. So if I don't feel anything about my physical body, I don't feel any temperature.
Yeah.
I don't feel I have a ear.
Yeah.
Eye.
Yeah.
Definitely no tactile sensations.
Yeah.
But the mind is very powerful.
Yes.
It's almost infinite space. What does that mean? I repeat.
As long as you stay with the Buddha, as long as you are aware of the Buddha, concentrate on the Buddha, or concentrate on the breath, you're still in Upachara Samadhi.
Okay, the experience that I share with you now, does it indicate something? Oh, don't mind if I repeat one thing.
What is the experience?
Okay, the experience is, there's no physical body.
Yeah.
Don't feel a pair of ears or nose.
Yeah.
Or eye.
Yeah.
That
sensation, yeah.
It is no temperature.
Yeah.
Don't feel the sense of any temperature at all. It's
yeah.
Only the mind.
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
Yeah, it's a deep state of Upachara Samadhi, but it's not yet Apana Samadhi. I mean, if you describe other worlds, you know, sometimes the chitta goes into other worlds, then you can describe actually these other worlds, yeah? You can describe the heaven, or you can describe the hell realms, you know, but you are just concentrated, yeah. You have to go until, you know, until the breath really stops. And then you know the breath stops, and then you have to jump into this knowingness, or into this awareness, and then the unity forms, and you are really into Apana Samadhi.
So if the breath stops, does that mean the mind is stable? It doesn't move, stay as an object?
Yeah.
If the mind moves?
Yeah, if the mind moves, then you are not stable. Yeah, okay. The mind should not move.
But you don't feel the breath, but the mind moves.
Yeah.
Is it possible?
No. If the mind moves, then the mind is not yet satisfied, not concentrated. If the mind sticks with the object, yeah, with the breath, or with the Buddha, and knows at every moment, you know, how the breath is, yeah, the detail of each breath, in-breath or out-breath, then you're on the correct way. Yeah. Until the breath stops. A lot of people tell me, oh, the breath disappears. The breath does not disappear. Yeah. The interest in our breath disappears. Yeah. We can become bored with the breath. Yeah. You know the breath stops, and then you know, for some people, fear arises. Yeah. When the breath stops, am I die? No, you're not die. Whatever can die, let it die. Whatever stays, you know, be with whatever state. Yeah. It's quite a bit. Yeah. Be interested in what is happening, you know, and this interest, you know, guides you through to Apana Samadhi. Yeah? Don't worry about, you know, if your mind is, you know, moving or not moving. No, the breath is moving or not moving. Yeah? That is important. We have to concentrate on one point, yeah, in order to go on to the one-pointedness. So if you switch to the mind, how is my mind at the moment? Then you are not really concentrated. Yeah? Okay?
Just one more question.
Yeah?
How do you allow a lay yogi, to practice in a monastery?
As long as it doesn't disturb the, you know, the order of the monastery.
Is that time period? Is that fixed time period?
At the beginning, I only allow for 3 weeks while we investigate, you know. If the person fits the monastery, you know, it doesn't disturb the monastery, he can stay on and on and on. Why should? Yeah. I mean, that was the way of Bantak, you know. I mean, as long as the yogis were there to practice, you know, and that is what the monastery is for, yeah. And if they don't disturb the flow of the monastery, you know, I mean, they can stay on. Yeah? But most of the people get restless, you know, and then try to do this, to do that, you know. A lot of people, you know, talking, yeah. 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 Yeah? Can somebody explain me the question?
I'm wondering if, let's say, you use the Anicca Dukkha Anatta, yeah, the method, and the five aggregates.
Yeah.
Do we actually combine two together, or actually we do the?
You can do any. Yeah. You can do Anicca. It's one time you do Anicca, one time you do Anatta, one time you do Dukkha. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. I mean, these three principles, anicca, anatta, dukkha, yeah? Anicca is impermanence, arise and cease, yeah? Anatta is, you know, it's not me, not myself, and doesn't belong to me, yeah? And dukkha is, you know, the unpleasantness of things, yeah? Or discomfort, or dis-ease, or pain, suffering, it's all, yeah? It's one of the doors, yeah? I mean, I think Lungda Mahabua used anatta as a door to go to Nibbana. I mean, each arahant goes through one of these doors. Huh? I mean, they either use anatta, or they use dukkha, or they use anicca. Yeah? One of the disciples of the Lord Buddha, you know, I mean, who was a goldsmith, used anicca. Yeah? The impermanence of all these structures. Yeah? And he went into Nibbana. Yeah? So, for you, it is, you can use anything, yeah? I mean, it's the same as the samatha. One time you use putto, and next time you use the breath, yeah? If you're restless, you can use put with breathing in and do with breathing out. And it gives you, it gives you wisdom in all things, yeah? Look at your life, it's full of dukkha, yeah? You don't have to look very far. But you can also look at anicca, yeah? The thoughts that I had yesterday, where are they gone? Yeah? The ideas that I had 10 years ago, what I want to do with my life, where are they gone? Gone. Now other ideas, you know, fill our head. Yeah? It's all anicca. Yeah? And anatta, you know? I mean, whatever I can perceive cannot be me. I know there's a feeling. Huh? Next time when there's a feeling, ask the feeling, do you know you are feeling? What do you think the feeling will answer you? Huh? Or ask a thought or memory, do you know your thought? No, we give the stamp, you know, this is a thought, this is a feeling, this is, yeah, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling. Yeah, we do the association. Yeah, memory. Yeah, sanya. Yeah? But who knows it? Yeah? Go to the zoo. Who knows that this fish is swimming in this direction? You don't think about it. You know it. Yeah? And that is the power of the citta. The knowingness. Okay? Understood? Use anything. Yeah, I mean, it is no problem. You can use anicca, you can use anatta. One day or 1 week anicca, 1 week, you know, anatta, 1 week dukkha. Yeah? I mean, it's all useful. Yeah? To see the fertility of our lives. Yeah? Working, yeah? Next time you work again. Yeah. This life you account money, next time you are the owner of the money. And then you are the one who, you know, earns the money in the life after that, yeah? I mean, it's always changing, yeah? A woman becomes a man becomes a woman, yeah? I mean, what was that, yeah? There's no difference between men and women, yeah? Difference between our characters, yeah? Yeah? If you feel, you know, if these women, you know, feel, you know, the men, you know, abuse him, you know, next time, you know, your men, you abuse the women again. Huh? It's always the same, yeah? We became because of our karma. We became a woman because of our karma. We became a man of our karma. Yeah? To see the results, you know, of our own doing. Yeah? But we never learn. Yeah? That's a problem. That's why we have been, you know, in these, you know, trillions of lives, you know, spent trillions of lives not becoming any smarter. Yeah? What?
I say I could never find this answer in sutras about sotapannaship. Are there many levels of sotapanna or just
one? No, there's one, only one level of sotapanna.
Exactly like it's mentioned in Ratana Sutta?
Probably. I mean, I'm not there. Yeah.
One level of sotapanna.
Yeah. There's one level of sotapanna, one level of sakadagami, and one level of anagami. Yeah. And one level of arahantship, but each, you know, each of the arahant, like when you read Lungda Mahabodh, yeah? I mean, whatever you planted in your garden, yeah? Whatever skills you develop. I mean, look at the arahants, they have different skills. Lungda Mahabodh had the greater skills, you know, Lungpu Man had even bigger skills, yeah? Whatever skills you develop over your time, over your life, yeah? These skills will not diminish. Yeah? And once you are arahant, you have full access to all the skills that you have developed. Otherwise, how can there be a Buddha? He has to learn, you know, the 10 paramis, the 10 perfections, you know. I mean, how many lives has he to train just one perfection? One, at least one eon, yeah? Another eon for the next, and another eon, yeah? I mean, an arahant doesn't come from today, you know, he is not born and becomes an arahant in this life. I mean, he has to train eons of lives as the same thing, yeah? The first thing, you know, yeah, like you go, the first thing we go to kindergarten, yeah? We learn a little bit about the world, you know, in cartoons, you know, yeah? We learn a little bit about the Buddha. Life after life after life, we are in the kindergarten. And then we go advance to primary school, yeah? Life after life after life, we go to primary school. Life after life after life, we go to, yeah, secondary school and then to high school, yeah? And only, yeah, only once we train, you know, practicing, yeah, at the end of the high school, then we can go to university, yeah? And it takes also, yeah? I mean, you see the monks, you know, training for 10 years and they get satisfied, you know, and then they go back into the lay life. In the next life they train again, you know, maybe then they stay for 20 years as a monk. Yeah. It's a long, long training. Yeah?
Okay, my last question for me. Is it absolutely correct to state a sotapanna is absolutely not afraid of death?
Is what?
A sotapanna, what is a sotapanna? One is absolutely not afraid of death. It's physical death. Is it correct to say that?
How can he be afraid of death?
Yeah, that's my question. So yeah, you're given an answer. He's not afraid of death.
Yeah. But he still cherishes his body. I mean, the moment you realize, you know, a car is a car, you know, and you're not the car, that means you still love this car. So a sotapanna still can marry, you still can have sex, you know, still have, you know, children, yeah? But he is not afraid of death. And he knows he doesn't go down. He sees the body is the body, you know. I mean, of course he takes care of the body. But he's not afraid, you know. Oh, I have cancer, you know. Yeah, he takes the cancer as a cancer, you know. I mean, yeah, it's a result of his karma. That's why he has cancer, you know. He tries to treat it, you know. If it's not treatable, he knows it's his karma. Yeah. Why should he be afraid of death? I mean, he has seen, a sotapanna has seen Nibbana. Only for a short moment. Yeah? So he has seen the deathless. So why should he be afraid of the death of the body? He might be. Yeah? The only thing, you know, a sotapanna might be afraid, he dies too soon that he cannot make it to Nibbana. That's the only thing, you know, he might be afraid of. Lungta Mahabho talked about it when he had some sort of black death, you know, when he was, you know, he was afraid not to make it to Nibbana, yeah? But he wasn't afraid of death. He was sitting in the middle of, you know, this pandemic, you know, where people died within 3 or 4 days, yeah?
If one is in a panasamadhi,
yeah? It's not jhana. Abhanasamadhi.
Abhanasamadhi, is it correct to say that they have a glimpse of little Nibbana?
It's a preview. Yes. It's a preview.
Preview.
I mean, you see the preview of movies. The preview of movies are not the movies itself. Yeah. But it's something that makes you sure. Yeah. That's one thing you want. Yeah? Sadhu, what? Okay? Yeah, take it to heart, yeah? And don't waste your life, yeah? And especially the older people, you know, should take everything, you know, all the things that they have to do aside, you know, and practice, huh? This, I have to do this, I have to do this. What? You have to do, you know, to prepare for your next life. Pack your packs, you know. Yeah? One bag, you know, good marriage, one bag, bad marriage, you know. Because that's the only thing you can take into your next life, yeah? Okay? Oh, and don't forget what I said, you know, because I don't want to come back next year. And they say the same things again and again. Was it fierce enough? HD? Yeah. When you ordained, huh? No, not fierce enough. Okay.